But when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amazing.
What a blessing it is to be able to be with you this morning. I'm thankful that you were able to come. We do have some that have come a long ways to end visiting family, and we're thankful to be able to rekindle those friendships and to be able to see you again, and pray that you've been blessed by being here and worshiping with us. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and hope that you have a great time with your family and friends. And also, we are mindful of a couple of exciting things we have going on. First of all, we appreciate JT and Dana doing the fellowship this morning, and that was a good turnout. And second of all, one of the deacons jokingly told me when I told him it was a Christmas miracle, we have hired a youth minister, and so we're thankful for that. And I look forward to Wesley coming and working with us. He's planning on starting January the 13th. Now, he is engaged to be married. His fiancée, Lydia, will be finishing up at Faulkner University in Montgomery, and then plans are they'll get married in May, and so she won't be coming until after they're married. She'll be finishing up school, but he'll be coming, Lord willing, on January the 13th will be his first Sunday. So we're excited about that and invite your continued prayers in that regard. We have a lot of things going on and a lot of things to be looking forward to about 2019. What is the greatest gift you've ever received? What's the greatest gift you've ever received? When you think about it, that question in a spiritual dimension, you think about certainly that Christ is the greatest gift that we've ever been given by God. God has bestowed upon us the greatest gift. This season we're thinking about giving gifts, and some of you have worked very hard for the last month, maybe even longer, getting the right gift for someone. Some of you have trees that are filled with gifts below them, and you're going to give all those gifts out, and we spend sometimes thousands of dollars on giving gifts to all of our family and friends this time of year. So we're all thinking about gifts. What's the greatest gift that you've ever received? And do you realize that Christ is the greatest gift God has given you? When you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, the Bible says, "Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift." And then in Acts chapter 5, verse 31, the Bible said God exalted Him at His right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We've been blessed by Christ being our Savior that we can have the forgiveness of sins. What a great gift. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus, in talking about our prayers and about how our Father knows how to give good gifts, you know, I'm thankful that Amanda writes my name on those packages that she gives out. I got some other men in here that agree, right? You're as excited and as surprised as the kids are when they open them. Yeah, because we're thankful that our wife includes us in that because she worked hard to get them the right gift. She knows how to give a good gift because she understands those kids. Our Father, Matthew 7:11, knows what we need. He knows how to give us good gifts. He understands us, and He gives us what we need. What are some of the good gifts that our Father has given us that you can have and that you can open this time of year and all year long? First of all, when we think about the gifts that God has given us, the first gift that I would want you to know that the Bible says is that He's given you the gift of ability. And we really can make that a plural. He's giving you abilities. But as we think about the gift of ability, I want you to know that in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7, that each has his own gift of God. You've been given unique talents and abilities that only you possess. Now you might say, well, other people have the same gift. But what I want you to know is that you have unique gifts and talents that you have been bestowed by God. You are uniquely and fearfully and wonderfully made. God has given you your unique personality, your unique experiences. He has put you in this place in life that only you have experienced and have what you have in terms of your personality and your gifts, your talents, to use them for God. In fact, the Bible would speak often about this concept in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. But in Romans 12, it talks about gifts, and it says in verses 6 through 8, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. We've got to use our gifts. And he's talking a little bit about some miraculous measure of the gifts that were existing at that time. But some of these also are things that we possess as well in a non-miraculous measure. For example, he says, our service and our teaching, our exhortation, our contributions, our generosity, our leadership, our mercy, all these are things that we possess that we can use and have a responsibility of using for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter would talk about our gifts, and he says in verse 10, each one has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You've been given gifts by God. The greatest gift God has ever given you is Christ. But I want you to know that in Christ, you know, this is kind of like, my illustration of this sermon is, it's kind of like those gifts that some of you are going to get this Christmas that have a box, and the box is outside. And you know, you do this to kids sometimes. You'll wrap that up, but when they open that first box, there's a bunch of other gifts inside. And then you open that gift up, and it's each gift has different ones in it. Well, our main gift we have is Christ. That's the big box. But this morning we're opening up some of the smaller gifts that are inside. And the first smaller gift that is inside is because of Christ, you've been given abilities. Because of Christ, you have been given talents and opportunities that you can use for Christ. You are not Jesus. None of us are. But all of us can do the works of Jesus. That's powerful, isn't it? We can represent Jesus to others. We can share Jesus with the world. We can, in many ways, show the world what Jesus looks like because we have a part of Jesus within us. That's our talents. That's our abilities. You see, we find out, that's Ephesians 4, 8 through 11, that Christ has given us these gifts. What I want you to think about is that when you link your passion with your service, that's when you use your gift. Let me explain. For example, when you have a passion, whether it's for children or a passion for travel, maybe meeting new people, or passion, it might even be for physical things like cars or building or things, or passion for helping the elderly, or a passion for youth, or for study, whatever your passion is, when you link your passion, whatever you have a natural heart for, with your service, you're doing things for Christ, that's your gift. So in other words, if you have a passion for the elderly and you want to help the elderly, then you're using your gift when you serve the elderly in the church and for the glory of Christ. If you have a passion for youth or a passion for children, then you're linking that passion with your service. You're doing, then you're going to serve the youth. You're going to serve children. Maybe it's teaching children or doing activities for young people or being involved in leadership for our youth. Then that's your gift. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God has allowed us to serve in areas that we have a passion? It's our gift. And so the question is, are you using your passions, your gifts for the glory of God? For His service, for His honor. That's the gift of ability that you need to be opening this Christmas. But next there is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks a lot about the gift of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. For example, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that first gospel sermon, he promised to them the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, Peter will say that the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to all those who obey Him. We have the gift or the promise of the Holy Spirit And this involves Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, fellowship with one another and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't understand, and no one does, all that this encompasses, but I accept it and believe it by faith. Now, Romans chapter 8 is a chapter all about living life in the gift of the Holy Spirit. For example, in verse number 1, because we're in the Spirit, we have no condemnation. No condemnation. That's the insurance we have in Christ, the insurance we have in the Spirit. We are free from condemnation. But then notice we also, at the end of that chapter, verse 38 and 39, have the assurance in the Spirit. For we find out that I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's assurance. We have the insurance that we're not condemned in the Spirit. We have the assurance that nothing can separate us from God's love because of the Spirit. And then we find out in this chapter that we also have this promise that Christ knows us as His adopted children. Look at verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now here's the way I look at that in a simple way. When I have the gift of the Holy Spirit that God has given me, then when God looks down from above, when He looks down in our human way of looking at this, when He looks down at heaven, from heaven onto earth, and He sees Josh Ketchum, He sees me as His adopted son. And He sees my spirit crying up to Him, Abba, Father, Daddy, that's my son. He looks and sees. You see, the gift of the Holy Spirit means that I have that insurance that I'm not condemned. I have the assurance that nothing can separate me from the love of God. I have that promise that I am God's child. I am in His family. And then in verse number 26, we have the promise that He helps us in our weaknesses. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When I don't know what I should even ask, when I'm struggling with the problems of life, the Spirit has promised to help me and even intercede for me in prayer. What a great gift. It's that overall gift of Christ, but one of those packages that's inside that box is when I have Christ, I also have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I accept that and I trust that by faith that God dwells within me and I dwell in God's Spirit. See, the gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that gift also means that we have, third, the gift of righteousness. Christ also means that we can have righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. When we read Romans, he talks about how we are justified. And in verses 15 and following, he's talking about comparing our old man Adam with the new man we have in Christ. And he says the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift. This is a gift that doesn't cost anything. It's a free gift. It's a free gift by the grace that the one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, talking about Adam's sin. For judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through one man. Adam caused everybody else, because we like Adam's sin, we've been, because of our sin, made to die. But notice, much more Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life. What is the free gift of righteousness? Well, Paul is describing that gift here, and he's saying basically like this: I stand before God not as like Adam and like another human being, a sinful person, but I stand before God like Jesus. I stand before God righteous, right in the sight of God, because I've received a free gift, the gift of God's grace, the gift of His cleansing. That's what righteousness is. It's a wonderful thing, because I could never stand before God righteous. I would always stand before God in the filthiness of my sin, in the wretchedness of my actions. But I can stand, because of the grace of God, as righteous. When He sees the Christian, He does not see the failures and sins of the Christian. He sees the blood of Jesus. When I open the big box and I see Christ and I follow Christ, I get the gift of abilities and talents. I get the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I get the gift of righteousness. The free gift. What a gift it is. It's a gift of righteousness. In fact, Paul would say in Philippians chapter 3 about this gift, when he says that the people of his day were talking about him attaining and earning righteousness because of his works as a Jewish man. And Paul would say this. He says, if you want to stack up a list of who's the greatest, who's the best? He says, I've got that. If you want to talk about family and the right lineage, if you want to talk about the right works, I've got that. He says, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. But as to the law of Pharisees, I was of the strictest sect. I was zealous concerning the law. And he says, when it comes to righteousness under the law, I was blameless. He said, if you read the Old Testament, and you compare that with my life, you could not find anything that you would say, there's Paul, he's guilty. He says, when it comes to the law and keeping it the way the Pharisees said keeping it by all those outward external things, even all the handwritten things they had added to it, he says, I was blameless. I was blameless. But Paul goes on and he says this, verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss. Paul says, I gave it all up. I could not be righteous because of my family. I could not be righteous because of my work, what I've done in life. He said, the only way I could be righteous is through Jesus Christ, verse 9. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends upon faith. Paul said, I can be righteous because I have faith in Christ because of the gift of God's grace. You see, when I open up that big box of Christ, I get the gift of righteousness. But number four, I get the gift of eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John would say this about this gift. I write these things to you who believe the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What a gift. You know, when someone has saved someone from death, whether it be a doctor who has administered treatment and saved someone, and allows them to live for years longer, whether it was in the military conflict and someone, another soldier, saved their fellow comrade, and they allow them to go on and live the rest of their life, they will talk about, you know, I just feel like the life I'm living, the years that I've been given, are like a free gift. Like I was spared from death, and now I've been able to live for these number of years after that. It's like a free gift of those years. Think about that. Some people talk about, I got another 10 years of life because of what happened when that doctor saved my life. I got another 10 years of life. Some people talk that were saved in World War II. I got another 6 decades of life because of what that soldier did when he saved my life. All those are years in human numbers. Think about what God is offering. Eternity. I'll give you the gift of eternal life. Life with no end. It is life and life and life and life that never knows death. It is life that cannot be put in terms of years or decades or centuries. It is mind-blowing. It is eternal life. That's what God gives. You're grateful. And you can see stories about people that are so grateful for someone who saved their life and gave them more human years. But God is giving us spiritual eternity. Isn't that awesome? Eternal life. And this comes in chapter 1, verse 7, when he talks about how we can be cleansed. You see, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, he talks about how we are just men made perfect. And we ask the basic question, are you saved? Do you believe you're going to heaven? You know, sometimes we need to maybe think about this in a little different way. Do you believe at this moment, that you are saved? So many times we think, you know, I believe that there's things in my life that I could work on. I think I can improve in these areas, and I don't think I'm exactly what God wants me to be. And we all understand and say that we're all maturing. The Bible calls that sanctification. We're growing in our holiness. But here's what I'm not asking that in a long-term perspective. I'm saying right now, at this very moment, are you saved? That's what 1 John 1, 7 is talking about. That we can be cleansed and should realize we're cleansed by the blood of Christ right now. Right now, if the Lord were to return, I'm right with God because the blood of Christ is covering me. Because I have the grace of God. Now, if God gives me more time, I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to be closer to God. But right now, at this very moment, I have the blood of Christ cleansing me. I have faith in Christ. You see, that's what 1 John 5:13 is talking about. We can know we have eternal life. At this very moment, if I were to die, or the Lord will return right now, I can have that faith, that confidence. That's what Hebrews 12, 23, we are just men made perfect. You know, if I were to ask you, are you perfect? You would say, and if your spouse was around, right, you better say it quickly. No, I'm not perfect. In fact, I could ask your kids, hey, is daddy perfect? And they're going to say, oh, daddy's not perfect. All of us are going to say we're not perfect. But do you realize that at this very moment, before God, you are a just man or woman made perfect. Made perfect. You see, you can think about, well, if I'm given another year, if I'm given 2009, I'm going to get better. I'm going to be more like Christ in 2019 than I've been in 2000. That's good, and you need to be. But right now, what I'm saying, at this very moment, you need to have that assurance that you've been given the gift that you are a just man made perfect because the blood of Christ is clean. That's a gift. That's the gift of eternal life. That's the gift of God's grace. I am forgiven. I am perfect before God. I am saved. You see, that is what Paul talks about in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, we don't deserve this, it's a gift that He gave us, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can have the gift of eternal life. And finally, the last package I want to emphasize is that we can have the gift of a fresh start. The gift of a fresh start. In Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 10, the Bible speaks about how we've been saved by grace. And he talks about, but God, verse 4, intervened and how he offered up Christ for us. In verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift, there's our word again, It is the gift of God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Paul goes on and he talks some in that chapter about how we have been made new. It's very similar to 2 Corinthians 5:17, where we are a new creation in Christ. All things are made new. You know, it's important to know that we can have a fresh start. That's what grace is. Grace is about us having a fresh start, being made new. Maybe you're this morning thinking, and as the new year comes, you're thinking, I need a fresh start. God gives you a fresh start. I used this illustration before, but to me it's been so powerful lately, about McDonald's restaurants and how they get old and they just come in and they tear them down and they build up a new one to give it all fresh look. They don't just remodel, they tear it all down and build a new one. It's a fresh start. Maybe you need to think about, I need to tear mine down, my life down. I need to build a new one. God gives you that grace. He gives you that gift of a fresh start to make you new again. That's what baptism is about. We bury the old and we're born again. A fresh start. The gift of a fresh start. Christ, the overall package, gives you the gift of a fresh start. Now I want to go back to that original question I asked. What's the greatest earthly gift you've been given? It's the greatest earthly gift you've been given. Amanda's laughing at that because she's thinking, man, we look a lot younger there. Well, I look a lot younger. That was December of 1999, our Christmas right before we got married in January 1st of 2000. What's the greatest earthly gift you've been given? For most of us in this room, we have been or are married. And if you think about that gift, if you are married, you think about that gift of what that means. When, for me, it was back at that time frame, 98, 99, when Amanda gave her heart to me, and I gave my heart to her, and we committed our lives to one another in a marriage ceremony. That's a gift. That's a gift of love. That's a gift of her bestowing upon me her grace and her love and giving that to me. And I got the better end of the deal as I exchanged and gave my heart and my love to her. It's the greatest earthly gift you can really give someone, isn't it? Is your heart, your love, yourself. When you think about the greatest gift of all, God has given you and will give you His heart. God will give you His heart. He has given you His Son. And what God wants you to give, just like I gave my heart to Amanda and she gave her heart to me, what God wants you to do, as He has given you His Son, He's given you His heart, is God just wants you to reciprocate that love and give your heart to Him. The greatest gift that you can ever be given is the love of God in Christ. And the greatest gift that God asks you to give Him is your heart in love of Him. This morning, if you have never opened up the gift of Christ, let me encourage you to take that stand and to follow Christ through repentance, confession, and baptism to put Christ on as your Savior. If you've left Christ and He is no longer your first love, let me encourage you to come back and to receive a fresh start and to realize that God loves you and He wants you to love Him back. If you'll come as together we stand and sing at this time.